The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents and MKFM.
Good evening, just gone 7 o'clock on your Sunday. It's Leah with you for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour in celebration of World Mental Health Day coming up on Thursday, the 10th of October. We're talking all things Road to Recovery, joined by a studio guest shortly and John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support after SWV.
The MK Mental Health Hour in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents.
SWV right here on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. We do this every Sunday between 7 and 8 with local organisation Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support in Milton Keynes to provide a bit of a safe space to discuss all things mental health. We've previously discussed anxiety going back to school, suicide, mental health in the workplace, and this evening we're going to be talking about World Mental Health Day. I'd like to welcome John to the studio again. Hello, John.
Hello, good evening.
Lovely to have you with us as always. So we are doing the World Mental Health Day show. It's coming up, isn't it?
Yes, it's a massive day. It's on the 10th of October every year. And this year is all around suicide prevention, which we've sort of covered in a suicide show. So today we wanted to really talk about positively about recovery and that mental health isn't necessarily doom and gloom. There are really positive sides of it, and going through that recovery journey can actually be really, really good for someone. So we wanted to cover bits of that.
Excellent. So we're going to be hearing more about that throughout this evening. A reminder, if you want to check out any of the previous podcasts about suicide or any of the topics that I just mentioned there, you can do that over on our website, mkfm.com. Before we get into that, John, any updates on you guys over at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support?
Yeah, we've got more referrals coming in, so especially for adults. So every adult that we support pays for a child to get support. So we've been working with more adults this week. We've also got quite a lot of different training going on and businesses that we're working with to sponsor the children that we're looking to help as well. So there's been loads going on. It's really good.
Amazing. And how is the crowdfunding going?
Yeah, it's good. We've now we've got enough now in the first week or so to start supporting, like providing 8 sessions to one child. So we've got free support for a child locked in, which is great. And now we've got discussions with companies. So every day of training that we do with a company pays for a child to go through 8 psychology sessions. So we've just sort of locked in quite a few new training days. So very soon that's going to be flooding into the crowdfunding and sort of building up to a point where we can sort of open the doors for free support for kids in Milton Keynes.
Incredible. And if people want to support your crowdfunding, how can they do that?
Yes, so they can go onto our website. We've done a blog about the crowdfunding. They can get the link on there. If not, they can go over to justgiving.com/crowdfunding/ Arthur Ellis MHS.
All of the forward slashes. I imagine all of the details over on your website.
Yes,
which is Arthur Ellis
MHS.com.
Exactly. So this evening we're talking about World Mental Health Day. As we mentioned, it's coming up on Thursday, the 10th of October. You mentioned about this year's theme being suicide prevention.
Yes.
So there's a different theme every year, is there?
Yeah. So World Mental Health Day's been going, as far as we can sort of figure out, officially since around 1996. So it's not a new concept. It's been going every year. Last year it was all around children's mental health. This year it's about suicide. But because we've done a suicide show, I've got a couple of guests with us. One physically, one who unfortunately couldn't make it today. But we've got a couple of guests to explore different levels of recovery, what that actually means, how to make that first step, and the positive things that can come from it to hopefully encourage some more people to reach out, make that step, and see how they can recover.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to find out more about that, speak more to John, and meet Dale, who joins us in the studio this evening after we hear from Black Eyed Peas. Now, this is Where Is the Love on MKFM. It's the Black Eyed Peas. Where Is the Love on MKFM? Good evening. It's Leah with you on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. And this evening's show is all based around World Mental Health Day, which is coming up on Thursday, the 10th of October. And we're talking all things recovery and kind of the first steps to recovery. John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support joins us every single week. And John, we've got a couple of guests this evening, one with us in the studio and one where we've got one written down. We're going to be talking through some of his notes later. But we've got Dale in the studio with us. Yep. How did you get to know Dale?
Yes, I've known Dale for a couple of years now, and he's a singer, performer, but he's also had at a few of his own struggles with mental health. So I really wanted to have Dale on, and he's brilliant to come on for us to put his own take on that, what he's doing now positively and proactively to get out of the spot that he was in. But yeah, Dale's a great guy.
Oh, that's a lovely little introduction. Well, thank you, Dale, for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey then, Dale. So you enjoy doing a little bit of singing. You've been on The X Factor.
Yep. Yeah, that was 2012, though, yeah.
But you still enjoy doing a little bit of singing, and you work locally, don't you?
Yes, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your journey then. Are you currently in work?
Not at the moment. I am currently signed off.
Okay.
Hoping to go back very soon.
So tell us a little bit about that process then. How long have you been signed off for, and how did you know that that was kind of the right thing for you?
I've been signed off for over a month.
Okay.
And I kind of knew that it was the right thing because it started about a month ago. I started having, you know, these really, really bad thoughts, and everything was just negative. I didn't have any motivation to do anything. And that was when I noticed that something was wrong.
Okay, and was that something that you noticed yourself personally? You just kind of woke up and you had these negative thoughts and you noticed it, or did anybody else around you kind of pick you up on it?
Yeah, there was a couple of people around me that picked up on it, but that was, I'd already noticed myself.
Right.
I just didn't want to do anything about it. I kind of wanted to just ignore it and try and, you know, hope that it'd get better on its own.
Okay, and then how have you kind of taken those first steps to your recovery?
The first step that I took was to go to my GP. Went and sat down with my GP, spoke about how I felt, and then sort of tried to move forward from there.
And how was the process of seeing your GP? I imagine that must be quite daunting when you first acknowledge that maybe you're having some negative thoughts and you want to do something about it. But it can be quite daunting, I suppose, for people to go to their GP.
Yeah, it can be, because obviously you know yourself what the problems are, but physically talking about them out loud is the thing that I found most nerve-wracking the first time.
One of the things that I've been to the GP multiple times, and if you haven't been to the GP about your mental health before, it's a GP that you go to that you talk about a cough or a cold or something that isn't necessarily that, not that serious, but it's a completely different avenue that you're going to speak to this person about, that you've sort of loosely got to know about quite intimate issues.
Yeah.
So going to speak about something else can be a little bit daunting sometimes. But what did they kind of do, Dale? What was the process around looking at it?
So obviously, initially I went in, told them where my head had been, what thoughts I was having, what impact it was having on me. And then they gave me a questionnaire to fill out.
Yeah, that's the PHQ-9 form.
Yeah, called. That form.
Yeah.
What kind of things did they ask you on that form?
Ask about how you've been sleeping. From a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
You know, your motivation, if you've got any, if you haven't. And it's just general things like that to sort of get an understanding as to where you have been, sort of thing.
Right. And so it covers kind of a variety of topics on that questionnaire to get a bit of an overall picture about where you're at that stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got to remember that GPs aren't necessarily trained in mental health an awful lot. So because so many people go to the doctors for mental health related issues, and we know a lot of GPs, we've spoken to them about actually realistically how many people do you see, and roughly from asking local GPs that they see around 40% of their patients who have got mental health related issues. So based on a GP's time, that's around 12 people a day each
Wow.
GP sees. So they're very, very familiar with dealing with these issues. So they use forms and they use these diagnostic tools, I suppose, to have a look at how someone's been feeling, typically based over the last couple of weeks, like 2 weeks or so.
I think it's based over the last 2 weeks, yeah.
And I suppose actually having a questionnaire might make it a little bit easier if you're not used to talking about your mental health. It might actually ease you into it, because there might be people listening now that think, you know what, I'm having similar kind of negative thoughts to Dale. I think maybe I do need to take myself off to the GP. And actually it's good to hear the process so people are a bit familiar with it. And did you find it kind of an easy way in to talk about your feelings by filling out the questionnaire?
In a way, yes. Obviously, if it's your first time going to the GP about mental health, it is going to be you are going to be nervous.
Yeah.
But then once you've filled that form out, and then your GP then starts talking to you about whatever you select on this form, it does feel like, you know, you're taking that first step sort of towards getting better, basically.
And how does that form work, John? Is it a case that they kind of add up the different numbers and then they know where to refer you to and how to take the next steps?
Yeah, so it provides a score, basically, over the last 2 weeks. And depression falls into three categories of symptoms. And if these questions are kind of geared around ticking those boxes to see how severe, you know, the particular case is. So then the GP has a variety of options. We can have a look at medication, have a look at a referral to the mental health services and whether being signed off work is appropriate for that individual.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about Dale's journey and the steps he's taken to recovery after Rihanna and Calvin Harris, We Found Love, plays for you next. Rihanna, Calvin Harris, We Found Love on MKFM. Good evening. It's Leah with you on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. This evening, we're talking about World Mental Health Day, which comes up on the Thursday, the 10th of October, next Thursday. And the entire show this evening is kind of dedicated to that and people's kind of road to recovery. As always, we are joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And John, we've just heard from Dale and his story to recovery. We're just about to speak about somebody called Mark, who was meant to be with us this evening, but couldn't end up being here because he's on holiday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so so Mark works in the NHS. He found out what we're doing and about the show, and he was obliged to reach out to me. And when I started learning a little bit about his story, I thought it'd be perfect for this show. But unfortunately, he's gone away for 10 days, I think, to Scotland.
It's all right, so, for some. At least he's having a nice time.
No, absolutely. And we certainly wouldn't get in the way of someone's holiday.
Definitely not. But we did want to mention Mark's story. He has written a few things that we're going to go into in just a moment's time. But what's the connection with Mark and Arthur Ellis and the reason that his story is so special to you?
Yeah, so Arthur and Ellis are my granddads. So it's Arthur Manning on my dad's side and Ellis Graham on my mum's side. And Ellis had something called schizoaffective disorder, which is, it sounds really frightening, but it's essentially a combination of symptoms from schizophrenia and bipolar. So there's a family connection to me when I was diagnosed with the bipolar side, and that is what Mark has. So Mark is diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, and the way that he manages it and looking at it from Ellis's point of view, Ellis spent about 35 years in a hospital.
Wow.
So looking at Mark and how he manages everything, it's really quite inspirational to me personally, and we hope that it kind of helps with other people as well.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's find out a little bit about Mark's story then and kind of how his journey kind of began.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really hope I do this justice because Mark has written this for me while he's away. So
of course you will.
I'm going to be sort of reading a little bit about his background, and if anyone does relate to it or anything like that, then they can just reach out directly to us. So Mark works in the NHS now, but originally he was born in Zimbabwe and he lived in South Africa for about 12 years. He really had quite a good upbringing, but he did struggle at school and didn't necessarily achieve the grades that he ideally was looking for. So he did get into a school to learn how to become a chef, and he really did excel at that, in the world of chefing. So after chef school, he moved to the UK and he worked in a variety of restaurants, including some that had Michelin stars, and he began to really love his job. But at the same time, he got so into it that he began a real fixation, he's put, to become the best chef in the world.
Right.
So he got really locked onto this goal of and trying to achieve this amount of, you know, perfection, I suppose. So he started being so fixated on that he really couldn't cope with it, and he began not to sleep for up to 4 days at a time.
Oh my goodness.
Just to try and achieve this goal. So after days of working hard, not sleeping, he started actually having unusual experiences. So where he would begin to hear voices, sort of telling him to do things, and his mood he could notice was just fluctuating constantly. So it all came to a head between 2010 and 2015. He had 8 admissions into a mental health hospital, and he was diagnosed at that point with schizoaffective disorder. So he was prescribed a variety of different medications, which were antipsychotics, mood stabilizers and antidepressants, and didn't really think that they were going to cure him. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really want to engage in any other options. He thought, like, medication's going to be absolutely fine. I'll be able to cope with all of these things. But in his last admission into hospital, he started engaging in psychology, psychotherapy, more of the talking side of things. And with these medications, all of medication that's to do with mental health has side effects, just like anything else. One of the side effects of mental health medication is that you can increase your weight. You have weight gain. So Mark, taking all of these medications, he put on 6 stone.
Wow.
I'm not too sure about what period of time that was over, but obviously if you're looking to recover from your mental health and you're putting on a lot of weight, it may not necessarily contribute to your recovery. Yeah. So after starting to engage in all of these other talking therapies, his exercise, his fitness, Mark actually began to lose the weight and work with the services, with his aim being, I am going to lose this weight and get off my medication. So now, a few years on, he exercises regularly. He's got something called a coping box. So he puts little reminders in there for himself, little pleasurable things.
I've never heard of that before. It's really interesting.
Yeah, so it's something that if you're having a particularly bad day, you can turn to. And he's got a yo-yo in there, for example. So that's a really good distraction technique, right, if you're having all of these chaotic thoughts. He's got music in there and a variety of other little tools and things that are enjoyable to him. And then, but now he quit his job as a chef. It wasn't helpful for him. It wasn't healthy for him. He started working in the NHS as a mental health support worker to help other people. And he's now at a point where he's medication free. He's lost the weight. And he's now got a fiance. They've just bought a house together.
Wow.
So it's one of those stories where if you look a few years ago, doom and gloom, it's, you know, be on medication, I've got this diagnosis. But making those steps to start talking to people, understand how you can manage your condition or understand how you can recover, can just lead to an incredible life.
What an inspirational story. And you'll have to thank Mark for us for sharing that with us.
I will, yeah. I won't bother him on his holiday. But
no, probably leave him to enjoy the rest of his holiday, but a real inspiration. I think it might be quite interesting to hear Dale's perspective on Mark's story. And we heard from Dale earlier on in the hour about the beginning of his journey. So we're going to speak to Dale a little bit more after Mary J. Blige now. This is Family Affair on MKFM. Mary J. Blige, Family Affair on MKFM. Good evening, it's Leah with you on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. This evening's show dedicated to World Mental Health Day, which is coming up on Thursday, the 10th of October. We're joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support here in Milton Keynes. Really inspirational story we just heard there, John, from Mark. So please do thank him for sharing that. Some really insightful details and amazing kind of coping strategies that he's got. We're joined in the studio by Dale, who works locally, is currently signed off work, kind of on the road to recovery. Dale, how did it make you feel listening to Mark's story?
Listen to Mark's story, it was quite inspirational to hear the different kind of coping mechanisms that he's put in place on his road to recovery. And it just shows that it's not all doom and gloom and that actually things do get better.
Definitely. It was absolutely inspirational. And is it something that you could relate to with those kind of various coping strategies? I mean, we heard about the coping box that Mark has that kind of distracts his mind with a yo-yo and a few other bits and bobs. Have you found any of those kind of strategies throughout your process?
I've got a list of names on my phone. And if I ever feel like it's that the day's turning that bad, I'll always look at my list of notes. And then it's like a reset button.
Yeah.
So it sort of sets me back to a level-headed Dale.
So it's a list of names that you kind of, you read through and you think, you know what, if I did something stupid, these would be people that would really miss me in my life and things like that. Well, there's various
kind
of
self-encouragement type thing,
And so many different strategies that you have at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support to put in place for people on their kind of road to recovery.
Yeah, I don't think they're not necessarily ours. We can't coin them, but everything that we do is obviously guided by evidence-based guidelines. I think we mentioned in our first show that everything that we do is around NICE, National Institute of Health and Care Excellence. So we've kind of got to be in line with what's been researched and what is actually evidence-based tools that will work. But there are loads of these different things that you can do. And throughout my own psychology, I was, because I have, you know, bad days. So I was encouraged to write myself a letter. And that letter is me telling myself, written on a good day, you know, why are you here? Why should you stay here? Why shouldn't you do what you're thinking about doing when you're opening this letter? And you leave that letter in an envelope, sealed, and you stick it on the wall. Right. So every day you're walking past that letter, and on the very worst day when you are, you know, considering going down a route of suicide, or you're thinking about that sort of stuff, you can open that letter, and it's sort of like you're telling yourself that, you know, not to do it. But just by having that letter there on the wall, it makes you think, is my day actually that bad?
Okay.
So the aim really is that you never open it. It's just a reminder there that things could be a lot worse, and it helps you look at yourself and look at everything around you and, really sort of consider what's important, I guess.
Yeah, and it's such an inspirational story, as we were hearing from Mark. Now, Dale, you've submitted the referral form now to Arthur Ellis, haven't you?
Yes.
How did that feel? How is that going?
It took me a while, for the same reason as to go into the GP. You find it quite daunting. Even though you can do it, you know, you can do it off your phone, off a laptop, you do find it quite daunting because it asks you questions about how you've been feeling. And I didn't necessarily know how to put that into words to submit it.
We get that a lot. I think it's a really common thing that people just necessarily don't know how they're feeling at all. Like, you can't really describe it.
Yeah. It's weird because you know yourself how you feel, but then when it comes to talking about it or putting it into words, that's when it becomes a bit more difficult.
Yeah. And we've had people come up to us and they want to refer, but they can't, you know, I don't even know how I feel. I kind of feel a bit blur and I can't really put that on a form.
You can't articulate that.
But that's okay. Like, you can put that on our form. We will read it and we'll understand it. Because all of us, you know, I've felt blur in the past, and the people that, you know, like Rita, who leads our mentoring team, she's come up against loads of people who just don't understand how they're feeling. They can't necessarily process the emotions, especially if it's something new, you're not expected to. So people on our forms can put in as little or as much as they want.
But you would encourage people just to take that first step, even if they just write on that form, I don't know how I feel, but I feel like I need to speak to somebody and I need to get a bit of help.
Yeah, and I think it did take you a while, but ultimately, how did it kind of, once you had taken the time to do it, maybe for the third or fourth time, how did it kind of go once you submitted it and stuff?
As soon as I pressed submit, it was like someone had lifted a bit of weight off my shoulders.
Wow.
And it's hard to describe, but that's genuinely how I felt. I felt like a little bit happier, like I was taking that step to, you know, getting better as such, the road to recovery, and that it's not, like I said earlier, it's not all doom and gloom.
Absolutely not. And it's definitely not doom and gloom for you on your road to recovery, because you've got some amazing things coming up in your future. We're going to hear more about that after Kelly Ronan, when Love Takes Over, which plays next.
The MK Mental Health Hour with Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support.
We are loving that here in the studio. Kelly Rowland, When Love Takes Over on MKFM. It's just coming up to 10 minutes to 8 on your Sunday evening. It is the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour tonight, dedicated to the World Mental Health Day, which is coming up on the 10th of October. Dale, we were just hearing from you about your kind of road to recovery. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us that you have this evening. I know it can be quite daunting and quite difficult to kind of talk about these things, but this is what the Mental Health Hour is all about. And you are a real inspiration as well, because so many great things kind of in your future. You're a singer, like we were saying, and you've got a show coming up soon.
Yes, Friday the 18th of October. It's my first headline show in Milton Keynes.
Wow.
At Unit 9 in Wolverton, so I'm excited about that.
Fantastic. What can people expect from the show?
I don't even know myself yet.
Okay.
I'm not too
expect
sure.
Expect the unexpected. Yeah. Keep us on our toes.
I take it you'll be singing.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe.
And then there's someone else singing with you, isn't there?
Yes, I'm joined by Brooke Layla.
Okay.
And the Joe's Hope Musical Theatre Kids, they're going to come along as well. and perform a couple of numbers too.
Joe's, because we're sponsoring the show as Arthur Ellis, so I'll be there and I'll do a little bit of a talk to people. But Joe's Hope are also there, and they're great by the sounds of it. I don't really know too much about them until you told me about them.
Yeah, so Joe's Hope, that started, she basically brings these kids in and does singing lessons, acting, drum lessons, piano lessons, anything you can think of musically, and it gives them them couple of hours after school. If they want to learn the drums, they can do that, or if they want to be a singer, they can learn, you know, different techniques from me and things like that. So it is really nice.
Brilliant. Well, fantastic things happening locally. Great to hear that Arthur Ellis are kind of sponsoring the event as well and supporting.
Yeah, it's really important, and having a musical connection, like we're partnered with Imogen Sheeran, Ed Sheeran's mum, so she makes us handmade bracelets to sell, so every bracelet that we sell pays for a child's psychology session or mentoring session with us. So we'll be there, we'll bring some bracelets along, and if people go to the show, then they got the opportunity to get one of these bracelets.
Fantastic. So it's happening at Unit 9 on Friday the 18th of October. If you want to find out all the details, they're over on our website, which is mkfm.com. Thank you so much again, Dale. We really appreciate you joining us on the show.
You.
And if people want to find out more about Arthur Ellis, the bracelets, the crowdfunding, and if you've been able to relate to anything from this evening's show, we're going to find out all the details next after Shakira and Wycliffe Jean. It's Hips Don't Lie on MKFM. We are loving that here in the studio. It's Shakira, Hips Don't Lie on MKFM. It is the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour. We're talking all things recovery to do with World Mental Health Day, which is coming up on Thursday, the 10th of October. Brilliant to hear Dale's story and Mark's story this evening.
Yeah,
how they are kind of putting things in place on their road to recovery. So if people are listening this evening and they can identify with things that maybe Dale said or Mark had said in his story, you do provide so much support at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Yeah. And there are lots of different strategies that people can start to put in place now.
Yeah, we've got a guide that's going out on Monday morning, so a guide to recovery essentially that will be live on our website. So just in relation to some like top tips really that has been put together by our lovely trained professionals, with one thing that's really important to bear in mind with going on to recovery is that you're not your diagnosis. If you do have a diagnosis or you've self-diagnosed, we don't necessarily really want people to be self-diagnosing. A lot of people do it,
right?
And then, you know, because they have read up symptoms on a website and they relate to them,
and it's so easily done, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not even just for physical health, obviously it's with mental health. People go on search engines and they self-diagnose,
and because these websites like the NHS website, really credible, really great information, but symptoms are relatively generic because they have to, you know, they have to be, but they are very easy to relate to if you're in a particularly bad spot. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have got an anxiety disorder. If you have an anxiety disorder, that's something that really needs to be managed. If you just experience a bit of anxiety, the emotion, it's very different. So not to latch on to your symptoms or your, you know, what you're experiencing as a label is something that's really important to just bear in mind and try and avoid.
Okay.
And we've got a full guide sort of coming out on Monday, so encourage anyone to go in and download that.
Excellent. Any other top tips that you want to share now, or shall we just say go onto the guide?
Yeah, go onto the guide. We can go into quite a lot of depth about it, but essentially what we've sort of said in relation to our mentors being available for the people of Milton Keynes, we've had people who don't necessarily know what to write on a self-referral form. They just feel a bit blur, they're not really too sure. We've had people who are just feeling a bit lonely that want to be, you know, want to have someone to talk to, and we're dealing with that, and it's really great to see the people of Milton Keynes who are experiencing these things and not necessarily reached out before, reaching out to us to start getting that support, which is wonderful.
So the important message for this evening is just to take those first steps. If people can relate to anything that we have discussed this evening on the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour, how can people get in touch with you, John?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can head over to our website, which is www.arthurellismhs.com, and there they can find information about our mentoring, self-referral forms, our guides, and any other information. So every bit of training that we do, everything that we do as a business contributes to providing children's sessions. So for example, every day of training that we do with a business provides 8 sessions for a child. So we're looking to really build up this business as something that has a free children's mental health service. So that's what the crowdfunding contributes to, the training, and also the adult sessions that we run. An adult gets support, but also they're paying for a child session as well. So it's something that we're looking to build as a really self-sustaining organisation here in Milton Keynes.
Brilliant. Well, really valuable the work that you're doing here in the local community. A reminder of your website is arthurellismhs.com, and we will be podcasting this interview over on our website as well, which is mkfm.com. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you. And we look forward to seeing you for another Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour next Sunday from 7.
The MK Mental Health Hour, in partnership with Thomas Connolly Estate Agents.